Well, bear with me. This is a little unusual. But David asked me to share today since they're down in Mexico. And instantly what came to mind was evangelism to me. It's something that's dear to my heart. And it's just, you know, Lord put my heart a number of years ago. I'll get into that a little bit later. But it's really the focus, I think, as the church is to word of the redeemed, but there's an enormous amount of the world that has not been reached and do not know the truth. And the Lord has tapped us, each and every one of us. Doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to be out on the street or like a Billy Graham or a Louis Palau, but you still can be an evangelist and a witness to those around you to share the hope that you know that Christ has done in your life. So let's look into Ephesians 4:11-12, and it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ. So as I was saying, about evangelism, we're talking about there was apostles and prophets, and so the apostles, we know, are the 12. Apostle also in a contemporary setting would also be almost like a missionary because they're taking the word out, they're church planting. But the 12 that they're talking about was the original 12. Big A. There's no more of those apostles, but little A. Same thing with the prophetic word. I mean, the word and the... prophetic word and all the prophecies have been foretold. There's not new prophecies coming, but there are words and gifts of prophecy, having a prophetic word that an individual can use. So the third thing is evangelism. So what is the intention of evangelistic efforts? So what's the intent as an evangelist? And it's like, so we're to preach the gospel, right? To share the word, reach the lost, save souls. In regards to saving souls, in Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So that's what the Lord came for, and that's what he's calling us to do. And again, I know people think about being an evangelist, well, it's somebody else. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have that gift, right? Maybe some of you think that you don't have the gift, which is a true statement for me too. But a number of years ago, a brother, Mitch Sorensen, probably some of you know Mitch, and he invited me to go downtown Monterey to witness on the street. And I'm like, that's pretty new in the faith. I go, what do I know? I mean, I don't know anything. He goes, you got a testimony, don't you? I go, yeah. And he goes, well, share that. And so that was the starting point. I went down there and I just kind of watched Mitch. I was amazed how easily he could converse with people and bring up the Lord in the conversation, minister to people. I was really impressed. And then I had an opportunity to share a little bit about my testimony, you know, and it was compelling. And I thought, well, you know, who am I? And why is that a compelling word? But it was compelling because it's the truth. It's what happened in my life. That's a number of years ago now, but it was in May of 91. But the Lord brought me to that point where I saw my sin. And I hadn't seen it before. I didn't know that, but I saw it, and I knew that I was guilty before him. And it broke me. It was like, Lord, forgive me. And it's like, right, amen. That's the point, is to be broken before the Lord and humbled by him. And so that was the start. And then I just continued to go down there, and I just learned over the years, watching Mitch and some other brothers that would come down. I mean, it was just so many people over the years. And still, there's another brother now, a local brother, the Vinings, Josh Vining, a brother, and we're going down. We've been off since of COVID. It's been kind of hard to get out there with all the lockdown stuff, but we've started up a few months back on Friday nights again to go back down there and share the gospel, share the hope of Christ. So what I wanted to present today is that truth that I believe that we're all called to evangelize. I mean, the Great Commission, right, in Matthew, let's see, sorry. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So from that, what is our main calling that the Lord has put on our lives is, you know, evangelism, but also it's to make disciples, right? We're all called. And again, this is something the Lord's dealing with me. So I'm sharing what the Lord's talking to me. And I think that'll bear witness to you, because same Spirit bears witness to us. But I'm thinking, well, who am I? I haven't been to seminary. What skills do I have? What calling do I have? But, you know, the Lord saved me. And because of that, I was just talking to Doug about this. Because I know the Lord, the world makes sense now. Before I knew the Lord, I was just chasing my tail and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And the world didn't make sense. But I was grasping for things that made sense and all the things that I availed myself to. And it was worthless. You know, I was just lost in my trespasses and sin. So when I came to the Lord, all of a sudden, the world really became clear. I mean, just in a real quick testimony, I got a degree in environmental studies and a teaching credential. Romans 1 has the first part of Romans 1:1-17 is talking about the glory of God and who he is. And then from 18 to 32 is talking about the worship of the creation. And professing to be wise, they became fools. That's the world. That was me. That was my life. I mean, I was just a crazy environmental wacko. And it was just, I think about it, but that same month that I graduated from college, I came to the Lord. Exact same month. And it was all of a sudden, my life did a 180. And all of a sudden, it was like what I believed and I thought about the environment and these things, I completely just like, wow, I was completely wrong. I'm worshiping what God created, not the creator. So it was, you know, that's real quickly, that's what happened in my life. And then there's things that started with Mitch, you know, just asking me, you know, to come out and start sharing. And we'd spend hours beforehand in prayer and talking about the Lord. And Mitch was really versed, but he had just learned the same way, just over the years with Chuck Smith. He was real good friends with Ray Comfort. And so all these things, we just kind of, over time, constructed this tool that the Lord would use through me to minister to others. Okay, so that was the kind of the gift or the calling of evangelism. But the thing I really want to stress today is that as I look at every one of you here, you're all evangelists, every one of you. And it might not be that you're out in the street in Monterey, but you can be with your family members. I'm sure you get family members that don't know the Lord. And that could be a hard ministry and a hard witnessing field, I know. But then there's your neighbors. There's people you work, coworkers. There's always opportunity. And one of the things I think we've really got to understand, and it's I'm here today doing this, shaking, but the Lord, because Dave asked me, and it's like, well, I don't really want to do that. But the Lord, I think, has put it on Dave to put it on me to come up and to share. And it's like, okay. So put my fear aside. Well, I might be a fool. I might make a mistake. I might blow. It's like, no. Go share what you know, what I've taught you over these years. And this one subject in particular, like I said, is very dear to me. So go and share that. And the results at the end is the Lord's, right? It isn't about me. When we go out in the street, it isn't about the messenger. It's about the message, right? And 2 Peter 3:9, I'll get into this later, but very dear passage to me for something that happened in my life. But it says that God's desire is that none perish, that all come to repentance. So as I read that, and it's like all, like in the Greek, it means all, right? So there's not a single person alive on this planet. I don't care what they've done. I don't care who they are and how horrible they are. God died for them. He died for them, and he wants their soul. He wants to redeem them, to draw him back to himself. And so that is so amazing. And if you think about your own testimony, guys, whenever you came to the Lord, whatever you have a testimony of a life before and a life after. And it's after these 30-odd years, that life before is like, I just don't ever go back there and think about it. It's like, that's done. It's been covered by the blood, and I don't think about how wondrous. Like, no, it was just lost in trespasses and sin. So I just don't go back there. I just, this new life in Christ is just like, it's amazing. That message needs to be shared with the world. And I was just reading something from Ray Comfort recently. He's got a great book. And it kind of throws, kind of flies in the face of a lot of the, what's going on in the culture and in the church, kind of like your best life now, right? God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Like, somehow I'm going to have wealth and fame and success and business and marriage and all these things. Like, maybe not so. You know, that's kind of not the world he's called us to. He's called us, one, to be poor, you know, because we are poor in spirit, to trust in him. And so it's not about the trappings of this life, you know, but that's what the world says. And so and Ray is talking about that, just that reality of the life that he's called to is sacrificial, but the joy of the Lord, as in Nehemiah, is our strength. And so these things about, again, I'm sorry to kind of ramble here, but I look out on the horizontal plane of what the world esteems and values. Just think about that for a second. You know, it's fame, fortune, on and on and on. You just, that upper echelon, like, well, look at these wonderful people. And it's like, and it's not to judge them for that, but they're lost. They're putting their faith and their trust in the world system, right? And they're completely lost. And so how are they going to know the truth? Well, that's where the evangelist comes in. So just kind of reiterate a little bit. So for opportunities, I would just encourage everybody to just kind of be seeking an opportunity. You know, I've got some books that I'll reference that are just great resources to equip you and to encourage you. And I think the more that you're equipped to go out and then go out with a group of people, go out, you know, like I said, Josh and I are down Friday. Brenton and Dan Baldwin are down over at Wharf 1 on Saturdays for 4 hours. Those guys are great to go hang out with because you can just kind of hang and just watch. They do some open air campaigning, preaching, and then they have some art that they show, which is sharing the gospel. They're really, really adept at sharing the gospel culturally. They really have a great understanding of the cultural things that are going on, and they can share the truth contextually. It's not altering the gospel, but it's changed. It's presenting it in a way that it's culturally relevant, you know, to the people that are hearing it. So they're really good at it. Just yesterday, Tony and some other here, Dave, I mean, you guys are doing Pass the Word. That's another, Chris. I mean, that's another opportunity to go out and share the hope, share the gospel, right? And again, start small. Start just hanging out. You know, stand back and watch. Just watch and just, you know, kind of ease into it. So there's all those kind of opportunities. So I want to get into just a little bit, because this is something that the Lord did in my life. My dad passed away a long time ago in the 90s, and I was raised Catholic and cradle Catholic, my dad, and he's getting sick and he's getting closer to death, and I'm trying to share with him, and he's just like, don't preach to me, I don't want to hear it. You know, I just didn't want to hear. He was in Nevada and Reno, and I'm driving up every other weekend to see him. I was in the hospital and getting sicker and sicker. And the night that the Lord, because it was the Lord who did the work, brought him to repentance. I showed up about 8 o'clock at night. I'd worked all week. I got a wife and 3 kids and, you know, busy. And so I drove up to Reno. I get there about 8 o'clock and he's really uncomfortable. He's got a lot of pain with the disease and stuff and just uncomfortable. He's really uncomfortable. And so I'm there for 6 hours with him in his hospital room. And they have these little kind of lounge chair type things you can kind of recline in. So I'm sitting in that thing, and as I lean back, the thing almost wants to tip over and fall, throw me on the ground. And then as I sit forward, it kind of throws me out on the floor. And so my spirit, my mind at that time, I'm tired, I'm cranky, I'm hungry. And my dad is like a little kid messing with everything, the gown, the buzzer. And he's just, and I'm just like, I'm like, oh, it's like, Lord God, I'm irritated. I'm really irritated. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, he just gets really lucid and he goes, and he's not sleeping too. So I'm dealing with that. And about 2 a.m, he goes, hey, George, why don't you go over to your sister's, spend the night there for the rest of the night. I'll be good. And I go, you sure, Dad? I mean, he was just like Dad, you know, normal. And I just went, okay, I'll do that. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, ask him about me. I mean, just like, you know, the Lord speaks in your spirit. And I said, Dad, can I talk to you about Jesus? And he goes, yeah. And I shared the gospel and he accepted the Lord and was like, when I walked out of the hospital, I went down to my truck. I got there on the 6th of April. Now it's turned to the 7th of April of 1997. And I sat against my truck and I remember just looking up. I go, Lord, what just happened? I mean, what was that? And he said, 1 Peter 3:9. I didn't know what 1 Peter 3:9 was. So I got in my truck and I read the word and it says, God's desire is that none perish, but that all come to repentance. And it just was like, it took this burden off of me to see my dad saved. Because I had a burden, but the Lord has a greater burden for the lost. And 8 days later, my dad, on the 15th of April 1997, which he always said the only two things guaranteed in life is death and taxes. And he died on the 15th. I go, Lord, that was funny. You know, but he brought him home. You know, 8 days before he left this world. And it just, it took the pressure off of me thinking, I have to do this. It isn't up to us, brothers and sisters, to save anybody. We can't save anybody. But the Lord will use us as his chosen vessel at the time to be the minister, the witness, you know, whatever, to minister to people. So the other thing about, sometimes you see like with evangelists, and not knocking like the big platform things, like, you know, I know Louis Palau died this year, but he used to do big outreach, Billy Graham, Promise Keepers, Greg Laurie. I went to Promise Keepers, which is kind of interesting. I went to Promise Keepers about 3 years before my dad died with my brother and my dad. I just invited them. They both, sure. So we went. So that could have been the groundwork that the Lord used. You know, so I'm not saying those things are not of value. But I think that the issue is that they're kind of big and impersonal. And what I've learned talking to people on the street is that personal connection with people. And the most important thing, I just shared a little bit about the testimony of my dad, but I've got a testimony. And I know, like I said, you guys all have a testimony. And I would just really encourage you to just kind of sit down and go through what that testimony is. What did the Lord do in your life? You know, were you raised in the church? I mean, whatever. Or like me, raised, you know, Catholic. But the Lord did this work in my life. And it's really compelling. I mean, I love to hear testimonies of people. What the Lord did, it's like, how, and then what? And then you're kidding. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I have a sister, biological, who just came to the Lord, like in her 60s. And for years, she was saying, well, I don't like the word sin. And it's like, or evil. It's just like, she didn't, no, I don't like that. I go, well, what about? She couldn't deal with the fact of herself being a sinner. And then the Lord started working on her. And it was interesting. She prayed, I was praying with her, and just didn't know the Lord. And this guy, oh my gosh, what's his name? I forgot his name, but my sister's about this big. And this guy's like bigger than Tony. This guy's a big guy. He's 6'4", you know, he's a big guy. And I was just like, what a contrast. Well, this guy was a brother in the Lord. And Ramon is his name. So Ramon would just kind of throw a nugget at her. Well, what about this? And just leave it, you know? And so what I'm getting to, it was a progress, it was a process. It didn't happen overnight. That's one of the things about those kind of like evangelistic big outreaches. People make a profession, they'll come to the Lord, yeah, I accept the Lord. Well, and I'm not saying that's not valid, but it could be in the emotion of the moment, and they really do see that, and it could be an absolute true conversion, but the point of it is that where's the follow-up? Is that person getting plugged into a church? Are they being brought into a community that's going to love them and encourage them and strengthen them, right? So it's, that's why we're all in this. We're all part of this, right? So my sister, you know, I was at her baptism in 2018. And I was just blown away. I was just like, Lord, you're so good. You're so good that you desire that none perish, that all come to repentance. And so I don't care how old they are, you know, it's something that the Lord is going to do and will do. Like I said, so I think your testimony, I'm real quick. Dave says like 3 to 5 minute testimony, right? So I'm going to do that 3 to 5 minute. So I was born and raised in LA, raised Catholic. I was first communion, baptized, first communion, confirmed. Moved to San Diego when I was 9, lived there for about 8-9 years till senior in high school, and moved to Reno, Nevada. I'd always went to church as a kid. I mean, I'd go without my parents, you know, when we were young, they had taken, but after as I was older, I went by myself. But then as I moved to Nevada, I stopped going to church. And I graduated high school, started working, graduated on Friday, started working in the trades on Monday. Bless you. And so started work, and then I did that for 8 years, and then I moved back to California. When I was there in Nevada, a friend of mine, a good friend who's since gone home to be with the Lord, Dave, he invited me to a church, and it was real Pentecostal. So I go to this church, and I mean, it's like Elmer Gantry, you know, tent revival. People are barking like dogs, and I'm just going, what? You people are crazy. And it was so funny years later when I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 14 and the gifting of the Spirit and the use of those gifts. If you have the gift of tongues, it's only 2 or 3 at most, and only with interpretation and in order. They weren't doing that. And what is the response in Scripture? It says, people will think you are crazy. And I remember reading that as a believer, and I went, gosh, I remember. So here my life, what happened in my life was foretold in Scripture. I know you guys have had those experiences too. And it's just confirming. It's like, wow, how is that? I mean, but again, how is it? Well, because he's God. That's how it's possible. Anyways, so I left there, came back to California, went to school, to college, and towards my late 20s, I said, you know what? I'm, you know, living the life I'm living. The Lord's drawing me, you know. And it could have been somebody who was praying for me. Obviously, it's the Lord's desire. But I started, you know, having this sense of you know, going to church. So what did I know? I knew the Catholic Church. So I go over to the Mission Basilica in Carmel. And before I go, I call over there the rectory. I say, hey, you know, I'm kind of, I've got some questions. Well, it happened to be Bishop Shubsta at the time, which I didn't know. That's like the mucky muck for the diocese, for the county. Right? He's like the guy. Well, he answers the phone and says, why don't you come down? Let's talk. I go, okay. So I go over there, and he pulls out the word, and he reads me the story of the prodigal son. And it's just like, wow, that was perfect. And then he shared some other things with me, and I, you know, just like, great. So I started going to church there. I met my future wife a little after that. And she came with me a couple times, and she goes, you know what, I'm not really kind of getting this. You know, I don't understand all that's going on here. She goes, I'm going to a Baptist church out in Carmel Valley. You know, you want to go? And it's like, okay, so I started going. And we got married, and we had our firstborn, and Andy Strawn was the pastor at the time. And Andy one day gets up there, and he's talking about, you know, end time, you know, eschatology, and about the false prophet and the whore of Babylon, and it's squarely focused on the Catholic Church and the Pope, and I'm like, right. I mean, I had no ears to hear. I had no understanding, but I knew. It was like, I'm done. I'm not coming back here. And at the time that happened, Andy's wife, Mona, was sick, and Bill Holdridge of Calvary Chapel Monterey was coming and teaching periodically. So where were we going to go? Because I just said, Trish, I'm not going back. You know, I didn't know. I mean, you can make the argument, but why? Why make the point? Why beat up a Catholic with that belief system? It's like, why? That's not pertinent to salvation. Salvation is that you're a sinner and a holy and just and loving God died for your sins, and you need to repent and believe. That's what they needed. So anyways, went over to Calvary Monterey. We used to meet right down here at the movie theater. And I was there for, I don't know how long, a while. And I remember the first time that I was there and Bill taught the word, and I was just like floored. I'm like, I've never heard this. I just like, this was so incredible. And so I had a meeting with Bill. I think he was kind of, you know, licking his chops, and he kind of knew I was pretty ripe for the picking. And so I went, I met with him, and it was, I didn't bring it with me today. I've actually got the Bible, that Bible, because my wife wrote in it the day of March 11th that I came to the Lord. And then on the 18th of March, of May of 1991, it was when I was baptized at Lover's Point with Bill and Doug Severe, who was assistant pastor. And, but anyway, it was really like just so profound. And it was like, wow. And the Lord, you know, so that's kind of it. And then, you know, the rest is kind of history. But I have a real heart for my Catholic family members, a real heart for them. I think they love the Lord as they understand. But there's so much of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. When they reference the church, it's always the Catholic Church. And Catholic means universal. Well, I think of so I can say universal, it's Christendom. It isn't about a denomination. Paul warned about sectarianism. Like, no, it isn't about that. It's about Christ. So with my family members, you know, I don't beat them up on stuff, but the Lord continues to open opportunities. And last thing I'll share about that, I have a sister up in, very devout. She's got 9 kids, good Catholic, wonderful, wonderful, loves the Lord. I believe they're saved, but it's hard to say, you know, I can't judge anybody's, you know, salvation, but they really have a devotion, but it's just steeped in all this Catholic stuff. And so she was talking about one of these things, they call these aberrations of Mary, and I'm not here to beat up on Catholics, but this is pertinent to the story. So I think it was in Fatima, this aberration, Mary shows up, and the image of Mary, the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, is that she's standing on the globe on a serpent. I don't know if you guys know this or not. So this is the image. So she's talking about this, and it was just, the Lord just quickly just, boom, hey, Genesis 3:15. And so I go, hey, do you got a Bible? And she goes, yeah, I do. She goes, well, would you turn it to, go ahead and read this. Turn it to Genesis 3. And it was such a cool experience. So 3:15. So it talks first that Satan is cursed. And then in 15, he says, the Lord says to Satan, says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and your seed, he, masculine pronoun, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, she always read that as she. It was Mary. And she read that, and I just let her read, and so I read that, and she goes, and then she goes, between your seed between your seed and her seed, he. And she just stopped. And I waited. I didn't say a word. I'm just like, let the Spirit move. And about 15 seconds, really, she goes, he? And I let it go again. I says, let it go. And I just said, after a while, I go, he who? And she goes, Jesus. I go, amen. Jesus is the one who defeated Satan at the cross. But it was foretold, the prophetic word in Genesis 3. And so that's just what the Lord is doing in that family. And I just share that love of Christ. You know, I love him. And I was there earlier this year, and I'll go to Mass with them. I don't take sacraments or anything like that. But I'll go with them. And I'm not kidding you. So I'm going there, and the priest I've got to know as a friend, Father Gordon, pretty solid. He knows the word, which is amazing. He's really versed. And his homily that day is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's by faith. And I'm listening there, and I'm at my head's on a swivel. I'm just looking around, and I just kind of go, can I get an amen here? I mean, I just was, and the Lord really, he kind of slapped me and said, hey, knock it off. But I wanted to, I was just like, guys, are you hearing what the priest is saying? It's faith. It's not works. I know what James said. But that's the fruit of salvation, not the cause of salvation. Anyways, so, you know, I just have walked this life in these 30-plus years with the Lord, and I've just seen him do amazing things. And it's not about me. It's never been about me. It's about him. And every one of us here, you're a chosen vessel of his. And he'll use you. And the issue is, it's really to step out in faith. And it's just like, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm up here. You know? And this is a little more difficult than talking one-on-one on the street, I think. But I've done that now so long, it's pretty easy. So just to encourage you guys, you know, that's what I really wanted to talk about. It was just that, I got some other stuff, but I think that kind of sums it up okay. And God's desire, again, in 2 Peter 3:9, God's desire is that none perish. So every time I get angry at somebody, it's like, Lord, forgive me. You know, forgive me, Lord. How can I be angry at any human being? You know, they can do stupid things and it's offensive at the moment, whatever, but it's like, how can I be angry? Because the Lord died for them, right? And so that's what I want to leave with you guys, is that you're a chosen vessel of the Lord. He wants to use you. And just encourage you to, you know, work on your testimony. Think about your testimony and just, you know I was a little bit long on that, but condense it down. You can do it in 3 to 5 minutes without a lot of the gory details, but you can just put it together, and it really is a powerful witness, because it's what happened, it's what the Lord did in your life, and it's the truth. And people can deny it and go, no, that's not true. And I go, oh, it is true. That was my life. I was this way, and now I'm different. Because I had a meeting with the Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. So anyways, well, God bless you guys, and thank you.